I've been able to avoid this subject for about 9 years now. Today's the day. I'm grateful for Amanda's testimony today, and she was scheduled to be here kind of last week. But I understand now why God said this week. God's in control of everything, and He times things the way He wants them to go. I spent 10 years running, and I'm a good runner. I'm fast, sneaky. If you look for me over there, I'll be hiding under here. I know how to run. And there was a time that I could not hear from God, and I cringe sometimes when people come up on the stage, and you know, and Linda's famous for it, and you heard Amanda do it today, and sometimes I do it, and Donna will do it, and many others will do it, and they say, "I heard God say," and that there's something in me that kind of rises up because I understand what I have here, and I know that everybody doesn't hear from God. And for the ones that don't hear from God, they're in the back saying, yeah, right. Yeah, sure, he said it. But there's a time in my life that I could not hear from God. I was a Christian. I'd been a Christian for many years, but the church that I went to didn't teach me how to hear from God, so I didn't know how to hear from God. I'm sure He was talking to me, but I wasn't with the ability to hear what He had to say. So He sent a prophet to talk to me, to guide my life. And the first thing the prophet said to me, after 10 years of running, after 10 years of frustration, 10 years of anger, 10 years of confusion, he looked at me and he said, "Your heart is in 1,000 pieces. But God said to tell you He's going to heal it. He's going to put it back together." They call this a sanctuary because in the spiritual realm, when I go outside of this place, I see a battleground. I see wounded people. You're not alone in your wounds. We all have them. Amanda shared with us her deep, deep, deep wound of being abandoned, made to feel less than human. Each and every one of us have what is called a soul wound. And something enables us to hobble off of the battlefield and into the sanctuary where we could feel the presence of God. I want to begin to teach you about soul wounds and what you have to do to get over them. In order to do that, I'm going to have to first talk to you about the soul. See, soul is one of those so-called religious words that we really don't know the meaning of. But we've heard it enough times. All is well with my soul. We've heard it 1,000 times that we kind of know the word, but we just don't know what it means. We know that we're made up of body, soul, and spirit. Only because you've heard that said from a pulpit about 1,000 times. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. That is what your soul is. It is your source of thoughts, decisions, and feelings. There's an old country song that God brought back to my remembrance yesterday, day before yesterday. And the name of the song is "The Woman Before Me." And it's a new wife talking to her new husband. And as she talks to him, she's saying, "The woman before me must have been hard on you. Because that hurt in your eyes, I never put you through." And what she's saying is, you're bringing your soul wound into our marriage. And she goes on to say, sometimes when we're in an argument, you take things further than you meant to go. And that's because of a soul wound that hasn't healed. A soul wound, or when our soul gets wounded, it leaves an impression or a footprint. And we're often unaware. You will find that your overreactions are a result of previous experiences. I used to have a really bad overreaction. It was bad. People got hurt. I didn't mean to hurt them. But after I had crushed my face, that's why I look so good from that surgery. Because Pastor Marjorie told the surgeon, make him look like you. Oh, she did. She did. I'm telling you the truth. She said, whatever you do, just make him look like you. Apparently he was a good looking man. I don't know. I couldn't see. He was a good surgeon, though. Thousands of stitches in my face and you can't see them. He was a good surgeon. But see, I had a soul wound. And so if you got near my face, you got whacked. Whether you be a stranger, whether you be a friend, whether you be a relative, it didn't matter. If you got too close to here, up came the whack. What'd you hit me for? You got too close. Don't seem like a good reason to get hit, does it? But it was an overreaction, a big overreaction. It's funny to me now, but I have outgrown that. I've healed that soul wound. That one's good. You can get as close as you want. Don't worry. I was unaware that I had a wound. The world has a name for that, and it's called a trigger. Have ever heard anybody say those words to you? They have a trigger. So if you touch this, or you touch that, or you say this, it sends them off. May send them off in anger. It may send them off in depression. It may send them off in isolation. But you send them off when you hit their trigger. That's the world's definition for it. Someone will say something or do something, and you will have a reaction where someone without the same soul wound will not have a reaction. Some of you don't know this, but if you grab Pastor Jim in the wrong way, he'll have a violent reaction. Ask me how I know. You thought I forgot, huh? I don't forget nothing, Jack. Well, if you have a violent reaction with me, guess what? You're going to be into the explanation period real soon. Because I'm not letting it go. And it had to do with something that happened to him when he was a child. He had a soul wound. When you step on somebody's soul wound, they're not going to react the way you want them to react. We hold soul wounds so we do not go through it again. But there's something you don't understand with what you're holding on to. There's something that you don't understand that when you hold on to a soul wound, you have given the enemy a camp where he can control your soul. You've given him a place to operate of. God has tried to teach you all along that once you become a child of God, that you have a layer of protection. And the enemy can no longer control you because your sin nature has changed. I teach you that before you were saved, you sinned because that was your nature. That's who you were. But in Christ, as Amanda talked about a new identity, you are given a new identity that is without that sin nature. Doesn't mean that you'll never sin again, but it means that your desire to sin is different, and it means that you no longer have to sin because that's who you are. You have to make an active choice to sin or a choice of ignorance. Because it's not who you are anymore. I must drive the devil away from me by not giving him a place in my head. When he gets in your head, there's no level that you can't reach. If I'm wrong, ask Bruce Jenner. My wife gets mad when I say that. There's no deprivation level. There's no. He'll take you a lot lower than you ever wanted to go. Soul wounds are caused by rejection. They're caused by abandonment. They're caused by abuse, both physical and emotional. Had a lady in church that I had to protect for years because she had been raped and she had the biggest soul wound I've ever seen. A man could not accidentally touch her. And I had to run interference because guys didn't know that. It's not something I could get up in the front of the church and say, listen, so-and-so has been raped, so don't touch her. So poor guys, poor men would try to give her a hug or a handshake or accidentally brush her arm. And it would be met with a reaction that was horrifying. I saw the reaction one day and I went to my bishop and I said, hey, tell me what's going on here. And I ran interference from her from that point on because her soul wound was so deep. But see, that's what will happen to a soul wound that you leave untreated. It'll grow bigger. It's not going to go away by itself. Your soul wound is not just going to magically disappear because you woke up and it's 8 years later. I was given the responsibility to counsel a man, but it wasn't really a responsibility or a counseling. My bishop was testing me. So he sent me into the battleground. He said, I want you to go counsel that guy over there. Like a mono. All right. I go over there to counsel him. It was a mess, guys. He cried and he carried on and he had become an alcoholic and he had lost the life of a child. And so I came back to talk to the bishop and he said, all right, so how'd that go? And I said, he lost the life of a child. He's in more pain than you can measure. And my bishop looked at me and he said, when did he lose the child? I said, I don't know, but I would imagine it was very recent. And he said, it was 30 years ago. And that became his identity. Many marriages fall apart in tragedy because the identity of the people are changed. And all of a sudden that man or that wife that you had married, you don't know anymore. Soul wounds are caused from humiliation. You've been humiliated in public. You've been humiliated in school. Sometimes you do the humiliation because of your soul wound. They're caused by betrayal, injustice, discouragement, accusations. Sometimes I react a little overreaction when somebody accuses me of something that I didn't do. Because I've gone through that all my life. I'm accused of running a cult. No less than 20 times. I've been accused of sleeping with every woman that walks. Huh? Oh, it's true. It's true. I've been accused of stealing money from the congregation. It's true. I've been blackmailed, countless times. What's the name of my blackmail sermon, Pastor Linda? Do you remember? Find that sermon. You'll find out what I have to say to the blackmailers. but I'm not very nice, so you might not want to listen to it. It had become a soul wound. And it became that I would violently overreact, not realizing what I was doing. You know what I do with my accusations now? Nothing. You know why? My enemies aren't going to believe me, and my friends don't need an explanation. They know who I am. It's also possible that we create our own soul wounds. A soul wound does not tend to heal on its own because of the place of prominence that you give it. It becomes a stronghold. In order to remove a soul wound, you have to drive it out. You've all heard the term deliverance ministry. And Pastor Sandy and her husband, Pastor Manny, were very involved in the deliverance ministry at one point in their lives for many years. And what they did was they drove things out. We're going to look at some scripture that may take on a little bit new meaning for you. It's in Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20. Oh, we're not getting very far today. That's Amanda's fault. They usually blame me for it, so I just have a scapegoat today. I'm taking it. Don't get offended. If you get offended, just go home mad and come back the next week. It's all good. Jesus and his people, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. Pastor George, did I say that anywhere close to being right? You don't know either, I know. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Understand that when you have a soul wound, it is an impure spirit. And it comes from the grave because it's killing you. You're coming out of the tombs. What God meant to be in you to prosper and to have life abundantly is being robbed and being stolen from you because you can't get over a past hurt. The man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. You see, when you have a soul wound, your brother talking to you, your mother talking to you, your daughter talking to you, your friend talking to you, ain't nothing going to get through to you. You are bound. You're holding on to that thing for dear life. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. I'm sad to say that in counseling, sometimes I have to get to a point where I say, there's nothing I can do for you now. Because you refuse to do anything for yourself. What do you expect me to do for you? If we're going to get somewhere, it's going to take a teamwork. It's going to take you listening and applying the things that I say to you to help you change your life. You have to allow me to drive it out, and you have to stand with me. You can't just give up the fight and think I'm going to do all the fighting for you. I cannot. I wish I could. I wish I could just pray over you. And I know your soul wounds. I know most of your soul wounds. I know what you've been through. We've had conversations. Some of y'all think I don't know everything, and I know that too. I just don't tell you because God didn't tell me to tell you. God told me to pray for you. God told me so I would know how to deal with you. God told me so I could counsel you. God told me so I could give you a word of encouragement. The greatest gift a pastor gets is discernment. I got to stop. I think we're going to not rush through this. My deepest desire is to heal your soul wounds. If you have a soul wound, I'm going to invite you to come up to the altar this morning so I can pray over you. I'm going to stay up here so that you can stay standing. Yes. Thank you, Lord God. God, I lift every soul up to you now. That has been trampled on and has been hurt, which has led to isolation, which has led to depression, which has led to mental incompetency. Thank you, Lord God. Like a cattle drive, God, we're beginning a process to drive out these hurts from our very souls. And God, we understand that by ourselves, we don't have the ability to heal them, God. But one touch from you can begin to turn everything around, can begin to change. You hold the very authority to put our hearts back together. And God, we're going to ask you to continue to teach us that which we must do to drive out these soul wounds once and for all, that we can return to the destiny and the place, God, that you have created for us. Many of us can raise our hand right now and say, we are not where we're supposed to be. We know this. You created us for greatness. You created us to be a difference maker on this earth. You created us to be your example. And we've given the enemy that place in our soul which has driven us from you. And we reclaim our position and proclaim now in the name of Jesus that we will drive out the enemy and retake our position. We fail to understand all the manifestations in our life come from that place of being so hurt. And as we head into July 4th weekend, God, we declare freedom now in the name of Jesus from every wound that has ever scarred our heart. And we no longer will identify with any of those hurts. Help us, God, to identify with who you say we are. We often talk about how we give you our heart. This morning, God, we talk about giving you our souls. That you would do a mighty work. Embrace our efforts, God, as we embrace you. Lead us, God, in a way that will change our lives. And we serve you, God, with open hearts. We love you and thank you. I thank you for each and every wound that you're going to begin to heal. I thank you, God, that you're healing the wounds. And sometimes, God, we don't think the pastors have wounds, but we're more wounded than the people that are not pastors. We want to take the stage, God, and pretend that everything's okay when the reality is that it's much more difficult. Help us to see others as wounded as we are. Thank you for brother and sisterhood, God. We ask for forgiveness of our mistakes, but only as we forgive others. Sometimes people don't want to come to church because they think they're going to be looked at a certain way or dealt with a certain way. I wish those people knew that we've all been there. We wish those people knew that they ain't said nothing. If we were perfect people, or if we were even good people, we wouldn't need church. We wouldn't need a Savior. We wouldn't need you, God, if we already were perfect. But we're so imperfect that it boggles my mind. And yet you love us anyway. Through every mistake we've made, you love us. How could we not love each other through our mistakes? God, for each and every person who's been hurt by this church, I deeply apologize. My desire, God, is to spread love and unity. I'm excited, God, about what you're going to do. I know that you've healed the majority of my soul wounds, God, and now I'm looking to have the rest of them healed. So I know you can heal each and every person here. You can turn marriages around. You can turn finances around. You can turn mentalities around. We want off the sand and we want on a cement firm foundation, God. And we thank you for considering us. We thank you, God, that you know the number of hairs on our head. We thank you, God, that you're involved in every aspect of our life, and we're thankful, God, for everything that you're going to do in our rescue. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray today. Amen. Yes, Pastor George. Yes, Pastor George.
I had a vision.
Hold on, Pastor George. That's not how we work here. You do, but it won't pick up on the people that are watching, the millions and millions of people that are watching, and the CD.
I'm so shy. Not a pastor. While we were having the service today, I saw Jesus. Remember the parable where he went with the lost sheep, the one that was way far off, and I saw him carrying that lost sheep back. And he's saying to some people here that you don't think you can get back to where you need to be. And God says, I'm bringing you there. I am taking you there. Just rest in my strong arms and shoulders. You don't have to do anything. I'm doing it for you. And there's a person here who's got a gift of compassion and is really burdened, and God says that I have a ministry for you that you don't know of, that you will use that compassion in such a way that you will be able to bring people back together again. There's someone that God's going to raise up in this place that is going to be a restorer of the breach. And not only here, but in high places. And I just want to say, God is calling you, and he is hearing that burden. He is seeing that burden, and he's going to raise you up. And I just feel that God will use you in such a powerful way. Thank you.
Thank you for that word, Pastor George. And I know who it is. So good luck with that. I love you all. We'll see you next time. Please come to the grand opening celebration. Bonfire, fireworks, great food, lots of love, lots of fellowship, and we're going to have an amazing time. So please stop by and say hi. Check out the Youth Center and see what we've been talking about forever and a day. And just relish in what God's done. It's going to be amazing. I love you all.